Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch. And the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a suddenly very lively Tuesday in Los Angeles. It's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, all the platforms, crushing on all of them. It is great to be in here today. Joy Taylor is joining me today. She's a little down with the Miami Heat. Understandable, not gone the way she envisioned.
What a disaster.
I mean,
Jimmy said they couldn't play worse, so I guess, you know, sky's the limit from here, but that was a rough watch yesterday.
Well, between your Steelers and, God, if Tua doesn't deliver, it's going to be a rough year working with Joy Taylor. So, Aaron Rodgers, I gotta say something. We live in a world now, everybody's apologizing for stuff they don't even need to apologize for. I mean, you watch the NBA petrified to offend China, communist country, human rights violations everywhere, petrified. Hollywood, the same thing. You know, everybody's afraid of the dollar sign. And here's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron's like, nah, I'm a double down. Me versus Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers versus Mark Murphy. It is official. Me versus them. He's doubling down. He's not backing off. And I'm here for it. Aaron Rodgers, last night, goes on SportsCenter. He's in Hawaii with his fiance and celebrity friends. He's playing the guitar. He's got the hair tied back. He is all hipster on the islands. And he's not folding. And he doesn't care. And he makes it very clear it's about the Packer front office, namely Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, the GM.
Never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. You know, a lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, you know, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible, incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, you know, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year.
Us versus them, me versus you. Aaron saying, listen, I got no other options. You own my contract for 3 years. There's no owner for me to curry favor with. I'm losing the power struggle here because clearly you're not listening. Clearly you're tone deaf. The Packers have drafted one wide receiver in the first round in 32 years. Aaron's 10 years in Green Bay, 9 of the first round picks defense. They wouldn't sign Jared Cook. They got rid of his quarterback coach. Didn't even tell him. Aaron saying, you know, I'm clearly losing the cultural power struggle here. You're not listening. You're tone deaf. So let's put it out there. Me versus you. I'm not going to show up to OTAs. I don't care about the fine. And Aaron's not being outrageous here, although go to Packer websites and message boards. Ooh, he has lost a lot of fans. But Aaron wants to be treated like Patrick Mahomes. You know, Kansas City spent a fortune to build an all-star offensive line this past offseason. And by the way, last year off a Super Bowl win, first round, went and got a running back. He wants to be treated like Tom Brady. Tom wanted Gronk. They got it for him. He wanted AB. They got it for him. He wanted Leonard Fournette. They got it for him. He wanted him re-signed. Check, check, check. He wants to be treated like Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson complained publicly. They upgraded, got him a Pro Bowl left guard, got him a real good tight end, gave him a new offensive coordinator. Aaron's saying, hey, I mean, I already don't have an owner. We already can't sign free agents. We're already backwards, 50-year-old men wearing cheese hats. There's some things I want here, to be treated like a star and how other guys get treated, where they ask for stuff and get it. And Aaron Rodgers is not backing down, and I'm here for it. Now, I've never thought Aaron and Green Bay are a perfect fit. You know, the Malibu mansion, the celebrity girlfriends and fiance. You know, he's California cool. They are definitely not cool. But it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a perfect fit in life. That's nonsense. I don't think Russell Wilson in Seattle are always a perfect fit. But the bottom line here is it can't grow to resentment because that's when Tom Brady left. Tom Brady admits now, God, you couldn't get me back to New England in that weather. Tom's from California. He moved to Florida. He admits he never liked the weather. You're never going to get him back there. He had a place in New York. He never necessarily felt like Sully in the north end of Boston. Tom and Giselle don't feel like Boston. They feel like celebrities. They feel like Bel Air. They feel like Hollywood. They feel like Paris. They feel like London. But it was fine until it became resentment at the end when Tom did the documentary and his wife said he wants to feel respected. Once it was resentment, it was over. It was over. And this is now resentment. I tell you about that study about once or twice a year. They studied 100 couples in Seattle at the University of Washington. Money didn't mean divorce. Kids didn't mean divorce. In-laws didn't mean divorce. People got divorced when it became resentment and eye rolls in the relationship. And that's what Green Bay is. It's now in the resentment category. So now, what will resentment create? Will it create a trade? Will Mark Murphy get fired? I have a hard time believing that Green Bay can pivot from their frugal, rigid DNA to blow up the front office. It is so precedent-setting, I cannot see it happening. But I got a respect for Aaron Rodgers. I got to give him respect here. He wants treatment like Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, and Brady, and he absolutely deserves it. By the way, look at how Buffalo's already treating Josh Allen. They get him a new toy at wide receiver every year. Every year, Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, they pay him more and keep him and pay him more. But everything Buffalo does is to make sure the development and the growth and the happiness of Josh Allen. They ask his opinion. He's a kid. Look at how Baltimore's treating Lamar Jackson. They get him a Greg Roman. They pay Greg Roman. Greg Roman, the coordinator's going nowhere. He needs receivers. They get him receivers. He needs a back. They get him Mark Ingram. Look at how Baltimore has treated their star. I mean, look at the Chargers in the offseason. What do? Upgrade offensive line Justin Herbert. Protect him. Pay for the center that Green Bay wouldn't pay for. So Aaron's saying, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize at the altar of money. If I have to give up some money, I'll give up some money. I don't care. And I got to be honest, in a world where everybody is paralyzed, it's a 24/7 conveyor belt of apologies for stuff most people don't have to apologize for. I'm into it. I like it. Aaron's making everybody uncomfortable, and I'm really here for it. All right. Joy is not really here for the next story. So the Bucks-Miami Heat, it was funny, as I watched that game last night, I tried to talk myself into turning it off about seven different times because it felt like it was over 8 minutes in. You know, it's really interesting. You know, we talk about this a lot on the show. There are very few stars. Just pay for them. Just deal with some of their crap. There is no other Russell Wilson on the market. Kyler Murray's the only thing even resembling his game. Just pay for it. Just deal with it. Just deal with Aaron Rodgers. So the Heat were very reluctant. Remember in the offseason, they wanted James Harden. They wanted James Harden to go with Jimmy Butler. And they were willing to give up anything as long as Tyler Hero wasn't in the deal. That doesn't look like a great move right now by Pat Riley, who usually makes great moves. Tyler Hero, and he's 21 years old. He is now playing with garbage time, guys. He's about the eighth best player. This series, he's been horrible. 14 total points, 3 for 15. We know he's an egregiously bad defender. But according to the stories I looked up to this morning, he started becoming a celebrity in Miami, which, by the way, there's two cities in the NBA where that happens a lot, and it's L.A. and Miami. Remember when LeBron came to L.A.? And Jordan Clarkson's dating this person, and Kyle Kuzma's dating this person, and Lonzo Ball's doing this, and LeBron's like, you guys want to win some titles? You at least want to get to the playoffs before you become celebrities in Los Angeles? Miami is a seductive town, and Tyler Hero has officially been seduced. Jimmy Butler's not happy with him. According to stories, Miami's not happy with him. And let me just say this. Before we ask the question, what's happened to the Heat? Well, are we sure anything's happened? I mean, they were a 5 seed last year in the cruddy East. That's the second lowest seed in the history of the Eastern Conference to ever make the finals. And this year, they're a 6 seed. I mean, Jimmy Butler's very good, but he's not KD. Bam's very good. He's not AD. This is kind of maybe what they are. I mean, they're not special offensively. They were 18th in total offense, a 5 seed, a 6 seed. This is last year they got kind of a break. They had a bunch of young players in a city that's highly distracting, and they pulled them all to boring Orlando to sit in a hotel for 3 months, and it worked to their favor. They took out the distractions of Miami for a young team, young guys easily distracted. They put them in a bubble, and they played their ass off. But that we see examples like this all the time in music. One-hit wonders. We talked about My Big Fat Greek Wedding. We see random movies that are fantastic. And then you try to make a sequel. And you're like, nah. Now, Caddyshack was worth one movie. That was it. You know, Hangover, frankly, was probably worth one movie. My Big Fat Greek Wedding was probably worth one movie. The sequels never live up to it. Everybody's waiting for Miami to take the next step. Last year, a little lightning in the bottle. What's happened to Miami? Reality set in. Jimmy Butler's good. He's not KD. Bam's good. He's not AD. This is maybe just what they are. Getting beat badly by a Milwaukee team that's got more good players. Giannis, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday. Got more good players. We have so much to unwrap with Aaron Rodgers. Also, Lakers-Suns play tonight. this Aaron Rodgers thing, I gotta tell you. You know, I'm you know, loyalty's overrated. If a friend did something that I thought was awful, they wouldn't be my friend. And you can be somebody who I roll my eyes at, but do something heroic or that has a little courage, and I put my arms around you. And I've had my questions about Aaron Rodgers for years, but I really like what I see. He's just like, I'm over it. I'm over no owner. I'm over your dysfunction. I'm over the rigidity. I'm over not giving me a heads up on a quarterback coach. I'm over you never getting me what I need. I'm over it. Russell complained. They took care of him. Tom needed stuff. Tampa took care of him. Mahomes needs stuff. They took care of him. Aaron, bad guy. How dare he ask for the stuff every other star quarterback gets? I think Aaron and I could be maybe not besties. We could have a relationship at some point.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy spotlight comfort. Save big on your water bill. Navien tankless water heaters. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. So this is interesting. Tyler Dunn, who broke a story about a year and a half ago, we brought him on the show, you know, voicing some of the concerns in the front office. It's funny. Aaron Rodgers did sort of dismiss Tyler Dunn's article about the Packers, but the reality is he was saying that Aaron and Mark Murphy did not get along. Now we find out they don't. Aaron now admitting this all started a year ago. So Tyler Dunn yesterday came out and said, I've heard Aaron Rodgers was telling opposing players this past season he was looking to build a team elsewhere. He wanted to see if they'd be interested in teaming up. He obviously has been thinking about this for a while. And you know, it's Aaron's a smart guy, right? Aaron's smart enough to see around corners and see trouble brewing. So, I mean, just on a macro level, just think about this. Think about all the teams Green Bay is considered like a Super Bowl teams, right? So Kansas City is one of those teams. Green Bay is one of those teams. Kansas City has upgraded their offensive line extensively this offseason. They appear to be better. Tampa Bay, not sure how they could get better, but they re-signed everybody. The Rams finally got Sean McVay, a Pro Bowl-level quarterback. Buffalo was 13-3. They addressed in the draft their only real weakness, pass rush, defensive line. Seattle's 12-4. They've upgraded on the O-line and wide receiver and tight end. Indy was 11-5. Their weakness, athletic ability at quarterback, major upgrade. Cleveland was 11-5. Major weakness, secondary, massive upgrade. Baltimore was 11-5. Major weakness, wide receiver, major upgrade. Green Bay is the only Super Bowl contender in that group that got worse. A, they lost a Pro Bowl center. B, they didn't sign any big free agents. C, they had a bizarre draft in which even people that like the Packers, Pro Football Focus, gave it close to a D. It was a weird draft. One potential playmaker. One. Is it possible Aaron Rodgers says, what the hell? This team's Super Bowl window's closed anyway. There's this belief that if you can get to a conference championship, you can win the Super Bowl. That's not true. Andrew Luck, 11-5, got to a conference championship. Had a little easier route, then they got crushed. Just because you get to a conference championship does not mean you're a Super Bowl team. Green Bay 2 years ago got there, and they got rolled by San Francisco that lost to Kansas City. So this idea that we all know that Super Bowl windows, especially in the NBA, they close fast. That Seahawks Super Bowl window, it was like bang! That Niners Super Bowl window with Harbaugh, huge, shrinks. It does not last long. I mean, New England had one, closed for a decade. Then it opened back up. But people forget New England had two dynasties, early and late. But in the middle, it closed. They got old defensively, missed on some draft picks. They weren't a Super Bowl team. So you start looking, and last year, you can make an argument, everything worked out perfectly for Green Bay. So who was in their way? San Francisco. Oh, Garoppolo got hurt. Tom Brady went to Tampa, but there was a pandemic, so he didn't even get a preseason or OTAs. It was the perfect time. Drew Brees was officially too old, and they were the number one seed. They had home field advantage. And oh, by the way, the Rams, McVay and Goff, there was a fissure in that by about week 11 and 12, and that it was kind of the perfect year. Is Aaron Rodgers looking at this thing thinking, so now I got no Pro Bowl center. Good luck with Tom Brady getting the number one seed and getting Lambeau at home in the playoffs. That's probably not going to happen. Now McVay's got a Pro Bowl quarterback. Now Garoppolo or, you know, reports this morning, Trey Lance is popping. They're back. You know, maybe he's just saying, you know, the heck with it. Well, why not move? The window's closed. And Aaron knows it. I mean, they're very dependent on Devontae Adams. I mean, just think about this. If I said to you, Devontae Adams, who's missed 6 games in 2 years, great player, torn ACL at practice yesterday. We completely eliminate the Packers from the Super Bowl bubble. No other good team. I mean, if I said Chris Godwin or Mike Evans out for the year for Tampa, so what? They're still favored to win the NFC. I mean, no other team feels as dependent on one skill player. And Davante Adams, as great as he is, he gets banged up. So, you know, maybe Aaron sees something that Green Bay can't acknowledge. Last year worked out perfectly. Everybody else getting better. Green Bay looks slightly worse. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Nuggets bounced back from game one.
They did.
They evened up the first round series with the Blazers. MVP frontrunner Nikola Jokic led the way. 38 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. They held him to only 1 assist in game one, which was very influential. Dame had a big game again, 8 three-pointers in the first half to tie an NBA playoff record. But the Denver defense kept him in check in the second half, holding him to only 10 points. And the Nuggets went on to win 128-109. This was a very chippy game. There were four technical fouls.
It was. It got really well
in this game.
It did feel a little bit like Portland won the first game in Denver, and it's like now it's house money. It just did. I just didn't. I thought Denver came out in the first quarter with so much energy. It was like Denver. If you'd have never watched game one and you didn't know the result and you watched the first 10 minutes of that game, your takeaway was, boy, Denver is playing desperate basketball.
For everything except for Dame.
Yeah.
Dame. And then they got it together with Dame in the second half. But, yeah. I mean, Dame's incredible. He had 42 points, 4 rebounds, and 10 assists. He's going to do what he does regardless. But, you know, they're going to have to do more if the Nuggets are going to play that way. I mean, that's... CJ had 21 points. Nurkic had 7 points. Probably needed more from him. He fouled out also, but he did have 13 rebounds. The Blazers also committed 21 turnovers. So they were outscored 54-32 in the paint, 16-4 in fast break points, and 21-4 in second chance points. So they were just outplayed by the Nuggets. So LeBron hasn't quite looked like himself since he returned from the high ankle sprain on May 15th. He does have had some moments. But he insists he's good to go, and Frank Vogel is going to treat him like he's fully healthy.
I'm moving forward as if he's a healthy player, understanding there's going to be a play or two throughout the game, you know, where he doesn't move on it very well. And, you know, that just comes with a guy playing through an injury. You know, ideal situation. He has another few weeks to, you know, fully put it behind him. But, you know, he's moving pretty well, you know, in most situations. And, you know, I approach the game like he's a healthy player. And just understand that there's going to be a handful of plays where it looks like it limits him.
I mean, at this point, what other choice do they have? They have to rely on LeBron and play as if he's healthy, even if he's not. Now, I would venture to say that most guys at this point in the season are not 100% healthy. Everyone's probably around 80 to 90%.
That's pro sports.
I mean, that's what it is. You would prefer to not be coming off of managing an injury during the regular season. That's obviously a big difference.
That's why they invented hot tubs. That, or what do you call those? Ice tubs.
Have you ever been in one of those things?
Oh, it's not for the faint of heart.
I don't understand it.
Well, you want to ice injuries. You want to cool swelling.
No. I get the purpose of it, but like, how do you sit in that?
Painfully.
I don't even like taking lukewarm showers.
Well, I took last night, my wife and I.
That. I would never get in the cold tub in high school or college. So I hated it.
105 degree hot tub. I got in last night with my wife, and I can take about 6 minutes of it.
Well, yeah, the extreme heat is not very pleasant either.
And so
to feel like you can't breathe, like you're going to faint.
And so I just think you don't sit in those things forever, but I've known a lot of pro athletes that do it, and they're like, that's why they created it.
No, I mean, they definitely work.
Yep.
I'm just a baby. I can't tolerate it. They're going to need a better game from Anthony Davis. Like, that's going to be the key. Like, Anthony Davis is going to have to step up. 13.7 rebounds, 2 assists is not going to get it done against this really good Suns team. They also shot 26.9% from the three-point range in game one. So, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was 1 of 7 from three. That's not enough.
It's really interesting. Kuzma feels a little lost right now. Dennis Schroeder is a little hit and miss. Like, Caruso's become bizarrely important for the Lakers because he gets along with LeBron. You know, for a championship team that's got talent,
I don't want to overreact too much to game one.
I know. No, I get that. And I think the Lakers will win the series. But when I watch them, it's just, if they win this championship, it's just the power of LeBron, because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you can't have Drummond on the floor a lot because they get slow. Schroeder is, sometimes he's good. Kuzma feels lost. KCP, who was great last year, like, LeBron's injury, AD sometimes is an enforcer, sometimes is disengaged. The Lakers are a team with a lot of stuff, and LeBron has this ability to kind of pull it all together and it works, but it's not a perfect team. There's a lot of question marks.
No, I think every team in the playoffs right now is flawed, but the difference is this team is flawed and has LeBron James, so yeah, you still have to take them that seriously. So Tom Brady is back on the field. He is practicing with his teammates. He posted several photos on his Instagram of an offsite workout he hosts with some of his teammates. Now, this is the first football activity we've seen him do since his surgery. One of the pictures was him getting ready to throw. Very good picture. Very good picture. Nice lighting.
Yeah, nice lighting.
Great
there.
Day with the boys. Starting to feel like football season again. He also posted pictures of Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin. Gronk, Cameron Brate, Chris Godwin. So he was out there with all the guys working out. This is kind of interesting, though, because there's been a lot of conflict between the NFL and the NFLPA over off-season workouts. And Brady has kind of denounced the off-season workouts, like saying that they're overly competitive and he's in support of boycotting them. And a lot of guys are pointing to, the performance that they had last year without those intense off-season workouts.
I think they're nonsense. I think the old school NFL guys need to. Sean McVay came out and said, I'm not playing 3 years ago. I'm not playing any of my good players in preseason. Everybody's like, whoa, they start the year 8-0. Preseason's overrated. OTAs are overrated. If you want rookie camps, I want my rookies to know the offense. I want them to know the schemes. The idea that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady have to be at an OTA is dumb.
Yeah, I think for rookies or, second or even third year players, they're probably still very necessary. Certainly for rookies, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you're a veteran, like you're going to come into camp in shape. Like if you're a guy who's not going to come to camp in shape, then you're going to get cut. Like that's how it's going to work. You're going to come in ready to go. You don't need to learn how to play football. You're going to work out on your own. And especially if you're with a good organization or a good, quarterback like Tom Brady, they're going to work out together anyway. So I'm supportive of it. I think it's really extreme. And I can't stand when old school guys are like,
folks,
like you don't need to stretch. Back in my day, we never stretched.
Tom Brady literally had no OTAs, no camp, didn't know the playbook, no preseason, and they won the Super Bowl.
I mean, it is Tom Brady.
Okay. But Aaron Rodgers?
No, Aaron Rodgers does not need to do.
What in God's name is he going to learn? By the way,
he does not need to do workouts in May.
He's got his tight end back, his O-line back, his running back back, Devontae Adams back. Show up in August or whenever camp opens.
He just won MVP.
Yeah, he's pretty
good. He'll be all right.
Knows the playbook. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Sarah Kustok, Fox Sports NBA analyst. The Nets broadcast regularly wins best local broadcast in the NBA. Sarah's great. She's joining us now live. Okay. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So you used to work, if I recall, Sarah, you worked in Chicago during the Tibbs era. I was totally wrong on Tibbs. I thought he was a grinder. I thought, oh, I've seen this act before. Players don't buy in. Now I watch the Knicks and I'm like, oh, they've got a soul. They play hard. So give me your feeling, because everybody now in New York's freaking out about that loss. Give me your feeling on what are realistic expectations for the Knicks in this series. And slightly beyond.
I think we're in for a tremendous series, Colin. And to your point about Tibbs, so I was covering the Bulls in Chicago.
Yeah.
When he got there, he would have 3 hour, 4 hour. We'd be sitting there waiting to... Yet, and this is, through the years of Derrick Rose, everyone's making jokes about him bringing back the whole Bulls squad. I love it, and I love to see them thriving. But whether it was Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, Joakim Noah, the list goes on. There was an immediate buy-in. They loved him. They would do anything for him. He resonates with players in a way that they know how prepared he is, and he gets them to play hard. And I think that's why they've become so beloved, not only because they're winning, because they're in the playoffs, but because of the style in which they play. And so much of that, to me, is predicated on the characteristics of Tom Thibodeau. And you look at this series, I believe it's going to be a drag out. I think we're going to see have a tremendous game seven. Atlanta has got a ton of talent. That Trae Young shot and the Garden with fans, everything about it was really just a beautiful thing of having playoff basketball back here with the New York Knicks. But I think it's going to be a series because there's different aspects you pick apart with it and how good the Knicks are defensively and ways in which you're going to see adjustments. And you can't ever overreact to a game one. But, man, that was a good one.
Yeah. By the way, you see the Heat a lot out in the Eastern Conference, and I was saying this to lead my show today. Everybody's like, what happened to Miami? And my takeaway is maybe nothing happened to Miami. They were a 5 seed last year, a 6 seed this year. Butler's good, he's not KD. Bam's good, he's not AD. They're a good team. But Milwaukee's a better team that added pieces. And that sometimes it happens, Sarah. You get a one-hit wonder in music. You get a random hit in the movies. You don't have a sequel. This is kind of what they are. They've got Bam's a very nice young player, and Jimmy's an excellent A-minus player, but they're not the Nets. They're not the Sixers. They're not Milwaukee. And is it possible Miami is, we're looking for something that they're not, which is special. They're just good.
See, I did think they were special, and I thought they dealt with so much throughout the course of the regular season. And the quick turnaround, I think Jimmy Butler is a star. However, that game surprised me. If you would have had me on the show yesterday and told me to give you a pick, I thought for sure that it was going to be the Heat tying up the series. The Bucks are the real deal, and they came out ready to go. But so much of it, I think we focused on the three-point barrage, starting with Giannis. Everyone's getting on the action. Bryn Forbes and Connaughton were amazing. But to me, there was so many breakdowns defensively for the Heat. Guys getting in the paint, getting to the basket, running the break. Like there was very abnormal Miami Heat defensive plays that I just wasn't accustomed to seeing out of that group, and just a lack of confusion, it looked like. I don't think this series is going to be a sweep. I don't think you just clean your hands of it at this point. I expect when they go back down to Miami, especially with Eric Spoelstra and this coaching staff and who Jimmy Butler is, along with the rest of that group, I think they're going to put up a fight. But man, Milwaukee, they've got it cooking, and I think the added pieces, the shooting, and the addition of Jrue Holiday to go along with what you have in Giannis and Chris Middleton, this to me is a different Milwaukee team this postseason.
So I said yesterday, none of the initial games, I mean, we know Brooklyn's going to beat Boston, the Sixers, Washington. There's just a talent disparity. If Jaylen Brown was healthy, it would be a feistier series, but yeah. Brooklyn's going to win the series. Clippers Mavs is interesting. That's interesting because we've been talking about this. Joy and I have been talking about this for literally a month on the show. The Clippers are bad late in games. 2 years in a row, they can't solve it. You don't solve your problems in the playoffs. They need leads and comfortable leads late against Luka. And I look at that series and I'm not really sure the Clippers bounce back tonight. They played last year. What is your takeaway on this series as a whole? I think there may be a kryptonite. Clippers can't stop Luka. And the Clippers are so bad late in games, this series may look like game one over and over and over. Your thoughts?
Luka Doncic is a star. And we have seen that since he's come into this league. But when you talk about a kryptonite, I mean, he has picked apart this Clippers defense dating back to their meeting in the bubble. That was one of the first last season when the Clippers went all in, gave up picks, gave up players, brought in Kawhi, brought in PG, and still were able to maintain their depth. I will say that I was all in on thinking that they were the team that could be the biggest title contender. Obviously, we saw a unique year, a ton of challenges, but what happened in the bubble? But the Mavs walk away from that feeling like they could have won that. Luka was banged up at the end of the series. Kristaps Porzingis didn't play.
That's right.
But there was no real resistance from when you say, oh, you've got all of these wing defenders to toss at bigger players or like a Luka, whether it's Kawhi, whether it was Paul George. You know, all of those factors, Lucas said, I don't care. I can pick you apart in any which way. And we're again seeing that. I think that's so important, though. You bring up what you and Joy have been talking about for a month. I think if you just look at the record and aren't really watching the Clippers day in, day out throughout the course of the last month of regular season, you think they're fine. They were not playing their best basketball. And Kawhi was missing time with a foot injury. Paul George was missing time with the toe. When you think about closing lineups and the lack of some continuity, chemistry, familiarity with one another and what you're doing, I think some of that lended itself to it. Of course, the much discussed finish to the season of who the Clippers were maybe trying to avoid. But careful what you wish for, because Dallas now has come in with a ton of confidence, a great game plan. I mean, when you think about what Luka did in most of his shots and looks because of how they were switching and what they were doing, hunting for mismatches of a lot of time going against Zubats and going against different players. Ty Lue alluded to the fact that they may start this next game with Kawhi Leonard on him, but we'll see some of just the different machinations of what these lineups and rosters look like with Rick Carlisle and Ty Lue, because I think they're both very, very smart coaches and great with adjustments. But to me, it's between, you know, Kawhi said this, it's between the two ears for the mental aspect of the game with this Clippers team. And it's early. I don't like to use the term must win. Of course, it's a cliche, but Clippers got to get this one tonight, because protecting your home court is everything. And they already lost home court. So if you're headed back to Dallas down 0-2, that is a really tough position to get out of.
Sarah Kustok, Nets. Great seeing you again. Thanks so much for dropping by on a Tuesday, a wild Tuesday. Great games tonight. Lakers Suns too. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. What's really interesting, so we had a guest on last week. It was a former Packer who hosts a radio show. Leroy Butler. And he said on his show, the big show, people are like, get rid of Aaron. And it's funny. When Tom was frustrated in New England, he still had the support of the fans. When Russell, believe me, I know Seattle Sports Radio. When Russell had his problems with Pete, Russell still had the support of the fans. Interesting comments by the Milwaukee Green Bay faithful on Aaron Rodgers. We're talking Midwest here. We're talking Midwest. These are hardworking farmers, cheese, dairy. Some interesting comments. Has Aaron lost his town, his city, his fans? Interesting next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team. A driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two, because as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there. What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Barbecue season's here. Get ready for barbecue season with ButcherBox. Sign up today. Two free New York strips, 6 burgers, 5 pounds of drumsticks. Free in your first box. Got to sign up, though. ButcherBox.com/herd. So I watched the images last night of Aaron Rodgers in Hawaii, a place I've been fortunate enough to be a handful of times. It's great. It's fun. Aaron's there with Miles Teller. He's a popular actor and his wife or girlfriend. And there's Aaron with his beautiful fiance, and they're doing karaoke. Looks like it's a very nice resort. It's very nice. And there's Aaron playing the guitar, and he's got that California hair, and there's Miles Teller. And I'm thinking, oh my God, the $28 million Malibu mansion. He hosts Jeopardy. He is cool. He's having a good time. And, you know, if he was a Ram, I mean, Pete Carroll's got a place in Hawaii. Last time I was in Hawaii, I saw Eric Spoelstra sitting at a bar. But Green Bay's different. And Green Bay is small town America. And Aaron's out there doing Jeopardy and the celebrities and hanging out. And now this morning, he doesn't show up to OTAs. That it's very interesting. So I went and found an article, and this was good because it was done by somebody locally in Green Bay. And they just went and asked local people in Wisconsin how they felt about Aaron. And as I said during the break, when Russell Wilson pushed back on the Seahawks, 90% of the fans were in Russell's corner. When Brady would push back on New England, 90% of the people in Brady's corner. They still are. Cam Newton struggled, and when they got rid of him, most fans were in Cam Newton's corner. Quarterbacks are powerful. Fans fall in love with players, not general managers. Not in this case. So 6 or 7 random Packer fans were asked about Aaron Rodgers. Again, this is dairy farms, Wisconsin Dells in the summer, amusement parks. This is farm territory. You work hard, put your head down. Here's one of the quotes about Aaron Rodgers. I feel disappointed in you. Here's another by a young lady. I feel betrayed by him. My feeling, says another. All right, you're spoiled goods now. Here's another. He needs to suck it up, Buttercup. Do your job. Here's another. You know, he was real nice. I think he's kind of got an attitude now. Here's another. This team, this community, Packer fans, did a lot to support this guy. I think he ought to grow up and deal with it. Here's another. They gave him $240 million, and this, in the end, is how he treats us? I think it's BS. You don't treat the Packers like that when they did that for you. That's resentment. That's we're over you. That is, hey, say whatever you want. I didn't read that with Brady in New England. I didn't read that with Russell Wilson. I mean, Philip Rivers could never win the big game for the Chargers, and there was like love when he left. That was like love.
Well, we'll see how they feel if he does leave and they're terrible for the next 20 years.
I'm just saying, there is that Midwestern ethos. We're not talking Chicago here. We're talking small town USA, dairy farmers, cheese hats, proudly worn.
I shouldn't make fun.
I'm not making fun. I'm just saying this is
No, I don't think you're. I'm going to, because he's going to leave and they're going to be terrible. And then I'm going to pull those quotes up because I'm petty. But I'm like, you know, I'm pro player.
No, I'm
fans are supposed to do that, though. Fans are supposed to support their team.
But these quotes are all about the money, how you treat us.
When you're one of six people on planet Earth that can do something, you tend to make a lot of money for what you do. That's how that works.
It's very interesting. Julio Jones story, Lakers Suns, all next hour, too.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my six decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.